Good morning. Good to be here this morning. Eddie, I don't know where you went, but I can tell how loved you are here. When it's announced at Shiloh that I'm not preaching, there's usually loud applause. So I don't know what that means, but I'm so thankful to be able to be here this morning. Confession to start, I really like to have control. Anyone else? I like to have control of everything. I like to have a plan. I like to know what's going to happen. I like clarity. I like consistency. My very first time to coach T-ball, when my 17-year-old now son was 5, I was ready to go to practice. I'm walking out the door. I have a piece of paper in my hand, and my wife says, what do you have? I said, that's our practice plan. And she said, Gary, they're 5. Why do you have a practice plan? Well, every practice I had in college, we had a practice plan. And so I scripted out our practice for an hour and 30 minutes for 5-year-olds. And she laughed. And she said, have fun. And as I walked back in the house, she said, how did the practice plan go? I said, we threw and we talked about how to throw a baseball. That was it. That took us an hour. And it was maddening because I didn't get to be in control the way that I wanted to. And we live in a world where it's so hard really to not be able to be in control for the most part, to know what's going to happen. If we have a problem and we're not sure what to do, we have Google. We have YouTube. We can figure out how to do everything. The other day, I was actually watching a video on the best nutrition diet for someone in their late 40s. This guy on YouTube, and I'm standing in the kitchen, and my wife walks in, and she looks at me really strangely. And she says, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm watching this guy talking about the best diet. Now, the problem and the reason she looked at me strange is because as I was watching it, I was eating a massive bowl of Bluebell ice cream. And some reason she thought there was a disconnect. But I love control. I do love Bluebell. I do. But I love to be in control. And I love to have clarity, and I love to know what comes next. And I think that's what I love so much about this story in Mark's gospel, is because it is all about clarity. But I want to give you a little heads up as we jump into the story. Mark is not just telling a story. He's telling a much bigger story that's happening in the context of this story. So chapter 8 begins with Jesus feeding the 4,000. And they leave and they go with the disciples and they're all talking about, we don't really have food. And Jesus starts talking about bread and they're really confused. And then Jesus looks at the 12. He looks at the 12 and he says, do you have eyes but fail to see? And ears but fail to hear? They have been with Jesus, walking beside him. They've seen the miracles. They've seen him feed 5,000. They've seen him just now feed 4,000. They've seen him raise someone from the dead. They've seen so many things, and yet Jesus asked them, are you still unsure about who I am? Right, in a world where we can know so much of what's going on and what's coming next, his disciples still aren't real sure who this is. Because if I had my way, Jesus would give me a spiritual GPS. And it would tell me each and every step, what's coming next, what I should do, where I should go, where I should turn. when I should turn around. But we don't. In a world where we can know everything, the one thing we can't know is what really comes next. And it's for us as followers of Jesus to listen to and hear his voice and follow, even at times when we're struggling to see and we're struggling to make sense of what he's doing. We're struggling to figure out what really happens next. I want clarity. And I want control. And the disciples, I think, wanted the same thing. But you have to understand, proximity to Jesus is not the same as clarity about Jesus. They had been walking with him by his side and seen so much, and yet they still weren't really sure. And the question Jesus is fixing to ask them is so incredibly important. It's, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? But before he asks that question, Mark wants you to see something really important. He wants you to see with your eyes. He wants you to hear with your ears. In verse 22, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand, and he led him outside the village. And when he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and he said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." And once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and then his eyes were open. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't even go into the village." So Jesus encounters this blind man. And I want you to realize what he does and what happens next in this story. It says Jesus took him by the hand and led him outside of the city. Right? He's never seen Jesus. He can't see Jesus. And now Jesus takes him from the place that he knows, the place I am sure he is very comfortable. He takes him by the hand and he leads him away from there. He doesn't know Jesus, yet somehow he's asked to trust Jesus. To follow without seeing. And he does. And I can't help but wonder what happens in the story if he encounters Jesus and he says, "You know, I can't go with you. I don't know where you're going. I can't see you. How do I know I can trust you?" But he does. Jesus takes him by the hand and he leads him outside of the city. See, we have this idea that we need clarity before we want to be obedient. But I think what Jesus calls you and I to is obedience, and the obedience will lead to clarity. And maybe not in the moment. Maybe not right away like we want it to. But if you'll continue to follow, then you will start to see. He's led by the hand and he's taken away from what he knows. Think about the little kid, the very first time he crosses the street. Mom or dad doesn't say, "Just good luck." They take him by the hand and they say, "We want you to look both ways." And then they lead him across. Maybe you've been led by the hand as you received a diagnosis. And you weren't really sure what comes next? Or as a father walking into a hospital room. One of the greatest things that I have experienced in ministry was a church merger. The very first church I was at, Central Church of Christ, we merged with another church in town. Both churches were about 300 people, and we had a tendency to swap members. People would get mad at one place and go to another place. They would get mad and they would just go across town. And so it wasn't really like, oh, we don't know these people. It was more like a homecoming. And we just decided as leadership, we're not going to let people just swap anymore. We're just going to come together. But I was also 25 years old. I've never experienced it, much less really heard of churches merging. Plenty of splits, but we were coming together. And we invited a man, maybe you know Charles Seibert, to come and walk along with us. And he was such an incredible asset to lead us by the hand and say, hey, here's what's going to happen. And he kept telling me, he would say, hey, just so you know, everyone who's currently on staff within 2 years will probably be gone. And so every time Charles would come back, I would say, Charlie, I'm still here. But he was so kind and gracious. And what's ironic about this story and Charles is Charles was physically blind. But yet he had the ability to see what I couldn't. And to take me by the hand, take us by the hand, and lead us to a place we weren't really sure where we were going. This is the only story in the gospel where Jesus does not heal someone right away. It says he spit on his eyes, and he still couldn't see. He asked the man, do you see anything? And he said, he looked up. I see people. They look like trees walking around. And then Jesus touched his eyes again. And it says, then his sight was restored. And he could see clearly. Understand this. Mark is telling a bigger story. This is not just about a blind man receiving sight. This is a story about the disciples, the apostles' journey, where they have been following Jesus, and now they're starting to see. They're starting to realize who this man really is. And so this story, as Jesus heals him, really in two stages, is not about power. It is about process. This is not Mark saying, understand, he takes two different times to actually heal him because he didn't have the power to do it the first time. It was because he was showing what's happening within the life of the disciples. That they are starting to gain clarity about who Jesus is, even though they don't fully understand. There's this stage one clarity. We see people walking around, but they look like trees. We see you, Jesus. And you're a great teacher and a great rabbi, and you're healing people, and the lame are walking. But we don't really fully understand who you are. There's this partial sight, but clarity comes through obedience. When our first child, Gracie, was born, I remember staying in the hospital And the first night, the nurses would come in and they say, would you like us to take her to the nursery? And as a new dad, I was like, this is my responsibility. No, we're going to keep her. And after staying up most of the night with a crying child or wanting to eat, we decided we would send her to the nursery. And we came back in. It was a day or so later. They wheel her in and the doctor comes in and says, great, you're all clear. You can go home. And there was this moment of just terror for me. What are we supposed to do with her? What if we break her? And we read all the books. Well, I skimmed them and got Cliff Note versions of them. My wife read them. And we thought we knew. But it wasn't until we actually started raising a child that we started to understand parenting. And for most of us, it's not until after the obedience that we start to understand. And there are going to be these moments in your life where you can look back and you see the fingerprints of God all over your life. And in the moment, you probably didn't understand. You didn't know what comes next. And yet, you followed with courage and obedience, and now you're starting to see. Your eyes are opening to the beauty of Jesus. And this was Mark's purpose from the very beginning of the story. Mark begins his gospel with this statement: the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. And in Mark's gospel, he uses the phrase Messiah 8 different times. He uses it here in verse 1, and he does not use it again until chapter 8. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, they asked him, who do people say that I am? Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you are the Messiah. And Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Peter's that kid in high school who raises his hand and blurts out the answer, and somehow he got it right even though he didn't read the whole book. You are the Messiah. Peter, you're correct. But he still didn't understand. Did he understand teacher and rabbi and miracle worker? Yes, he'd seen those. But did he understand the suffering servant? Did he understand the cross? Did he understand that Jesus was God in the flesh, revealing himself to them? He could see, but he couldn't yet see clearly. And for you and I in that journey, there comes that moment of that stage one clarity. It's the church answers, right? It's in youth group when Kevin asks, what's the answer? And you say, it's Jesus. Yes, that's the correct answer. But you still don't fully understand. And still don't fully see. Because understanding comes through obedience. Understanding comes on the other side of obedience. And Jesus asked these disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they all have the answers. Well, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Maybe one of the prophets. And then I think this moment is so incredibly powerful. I don't know for sure that this is how it happens, but I think right then he's talking to them, and then he looks right at Peter. And I think he says, "Peter, who do you say I am?" "You are Messiah." And he's starting to see. He's starting to understand what's happening. Because clarity comes after obedience. For our church family in Tyler, this has been a really difficult past year. Our student minister, Ben Lascano, was diagnosed with cancer about 4 or 5 years ago now. And this thyroid cancer that he has, that's supposed to be incredibly treatable, has continued to pop up and surface again and again. And he was actually preaching for me today, coming off of 4 days of radiation at MD Anderson, because he so badly wanted to be able to stand up in front of our church and preach. One of our teenagers, Eva Blackstone, was diagnosed with a cancer. And over the last year, thankfully, she's become cancer-free. Samantha Johnson, a mom in our church who has 2 teenage children, was diagnosed with a very aggressive breast cancer and then another very aggressive cancer. And she has been through extensive chemo. And then another one of our teenagers, Hattie Rolock, was diagnosed with a really rare blood disease. And about 3 months ago, my wife and I were home by ourselves. Our kids were gone for the weekend, sitting at the kitchen table thinking, what are we going to do today? And we got a text message that Hattie passed away. 16. And as a church, we have spent 2 different occasions in the past year and 40 days of prayer and fasting for these families. And as the leader and calling people to prayer and fast, I knew 100% we were going to pray and we were going to finish those 40 days and God was going to heal all 4 of them and we were going to praise Him and be so excited at what He's done. And yet it has not happened that way. And it has been an incredibly difficult year. One, we lost. 2 are still really struggling and battling cancer. But what I can tell you is where you might look at our story and say, "Why didn't God show up?" I can look at our story and tell you He did. He did in ways that we never expected. Yes, it hurts. Yes, it's painful. Yes, it's been incredibly trying. But I promise you, we can tell you the moments where God took us by the hand and led us to a different place and said, "You've got to trust me. I'm still in control. I've still got this." And that question for you is so incredibly important. Who do you say I am? And the only one who can answer that question is you. Eddie can't answer it for you. Kevin can't answer it for you. Your parents can't answer it for you. It's you. And it comes down to the question, can you see him clearly? And if you're sitting here thinking, I'm not real sure if I see him clearly, I'm not sure what he's doing, I'm not sure where he's leading us, can I just encourage you, keep following. Hold on, keep going, and I promise you, on the other side of obedience, you will find clarity. On the other side of obedience, you will find hope. On the other side of obedience, you will find healing. Because before he ever saw Jesus, this blind man, he followed. When he couldn't see, he allowed him to take him by the hand and follow. And Jesus asked that question to his disciples. And he asked that question to you. What about you? Who do you say I am? And Mark's giving you a little wink there. I think Jesus as well. It's not just who do you say I am. It's understand I am the great I am. I am is with you. And maybe you sit here today and your life feels so lost. And you think, I need help. I am. I need hope. I am. What works? I am. What comes next? I am. I need a fix. I am. My marriage is falling apart. Who is pouring into us? I am. I need a drink. I am. I need bread. I am. I need a new way. I am. I need someone to hold me. I am. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the solution. I am the answer. I am the redeemer. I am the friend. I am Jesus, Savior, King, Son of God, Messiah, Lord. And if you can answer that question, who do you say I am? And the answer is anything but Savior and King. If he's just the helper, then he's someone we go to for advice. But if he truly is Savior, Messiah, and King, then we lay our lives down before him and surrender everything we have at his feet. Father, we thank you so much for this time. God, we're grateful to be together as your people. We're thankful for the beauty of your word. We're thankful for the story of this blind man who, Father, you healed and allowed to see. And Father, I pray for all of us today. For those of us who are starting to see Jesus, that we would see him more clearly. And for those of us who have seen you clearly and believe in your power and your strength, Father, that we would simply surrender once again to the ways of Jesus. And that you would give us courage to follow today. We love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.